This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our telephone number, 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. If you have any questions for our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, they would love to answer them for you right now. Again, our number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. A couple of things to keep in mind throughout the show, the telephone number for Klaus Financial's office, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You can also find Klaus online at klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Joining us this week is CJ Klaus. How you doing, CJ?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, and we've got a lot to talk about today. Let's get right to the down to business here. And we talk about the importance of understanding where your future retirement income is going to come from. Let's talk a little bit about and get an idea of how it looks different for different people.
Yeah, so many times people will come in and say, "Hey, I'm using Mint.com or I'm using Quicken to track my finances, and so I generally know what my balance sheet looks like." But their question is, how does all of this translate into a future income stream? Because we don't save into 401ks and IRAs for nothing, right? The notion of this is that someday we will either retire from our full-time job and do part-time work, or retire entirely and maybe just travel the country visiting our family. Whatever it might be, this notion is what we're saving towards. The goal of it is to create income and to create consistent, long-lasting income. So I love it when people come in with a financial balance sheet, but the question is, what does that mean, right? What does it actually interpret into? So we say, generally speaking, when you look in the history of retirement planning, and income planning, it used to be a four and maybe even five-legged stool when it came to creating income. Leg number one was Social Security. Leg number two was personal savings and investments. Leg number three was your retirement accounts, 401ks, 403bs, things like that. Leg number four was defined benefit pension plans. Mm. And the fifth leg might have been part-time continued work. Well, those legs are changing, and I'm sure a lot of Americans are going, wait, I don't have two of those, yes. Right? So that five-legged stool is quickly becoming a three-legged stool. So you might say, hey, of those five, CJ, which are the two that you think are going away? Well, continued employment is going away for some because as we age and as technology takes over just about every job, it can be hard to maintain part-time work in retirement. And secondarily, pensions. Many of our listeners today do not have pensions. Now, we do live in Madison, Wisconsin. It's one of the richest pension, not richest, but just per capita, there's a lot of pensioners due to state workers that it's a capital here. But a lot of our listeners do not have those defined benefit pensions. All you're relying on would be your 401k. So bottom line, the legs of the stool are whittling down, which means you as an individual have significantly higher responsibility for your own retirement than ever before.
Let's talk a little bit about what's COLA. What are we talking about there?
Well, cost of living adjustments. Mm-hmm. So inside of inside of Social Security, yes. Really, as we transition to talking about Social Security specifically, some people will say to us, are there increases on Social Security? And the answer is yes, there's two forms of increases. One would be while you're in deferment, meaning you're not actually drawing it, there's what are called these delayed retirement credits, which we've talked about before, DRCs. That's about 7 to 8% per year while you wait for Social Security to start pulling it. But once you start drawing, whether you draw at the earliest age of 62 or your full retirement age of 66 or 67, once you start drawing, the question is, will it increase from there? And the answer is maybe. There is no guarantee that it will increase, by the way. It doesn't have to increase. As a matter of fact, for those listeners who are drawing Social Security, you know that you did not get an increase as you headed into 2016. But there can be a cost of living adjustment increase, which is basically an inflationary increase if they determine there is inflation. So COLA is not a guaranteed increase on your Social Security once you're drawing, but it could happen year by year You know, depending upon whether the government thinks there was inflation.
I remember a lot of people grumbling this year about that very, very aspect of Social Security. He is C.J. Kloss. He comes to us from Kloss Financial. Of course, you can find him online, klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Of course, they bring you Money in Motion Thursdays right here on 1310 WIBA. If you have a question for C.J., he would love to answer it for you right now. Our number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Don't forget the telephone number as well for Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You also want to hold on to that telephone number because coming up a little bit later in the program, we will have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. We'll explain that, and we'll also take more of your calls next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. If you have questions for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, C.J. Kloss in studio this week. Again, our number 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. You can also call Kloss Financial's office here in Madison, 442-5637. 442-5637 or find them online at klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And we talked a little bit last half hour about that stool and how many legs are there, how many are going to be there. Another concern you hear a lot from people is outliving their money and making sure that you plan so you don't run out.
Yes, absolutely. So first things first, before I even get into that, anybody who has questions out there, I absolutely love questions. We get some really good ones on this show historically, so please call in, ask them. It makes the show kind of fun and interactive. So, with that being said, yes. So we talked about the legs of the stool kind of dwindling down, and more responsibility of your retirement being on your shoulders as a consumer. But the second part to that is realistic expectations, right? So if I have a pile of money that I've accumulated through 401ks at various jobs, and I've done a good job of kind of keeping track of them and rolling them over and consolidating them inside of my own IRA, the question is, all right, what can I realistically expect that'll kick off for me in terms of income throughout retirement without running out of money, right? So as a matter of fact, statistically speaking, folks, the number one fear in retirement is outliving your money for obvious reasons. Well, there's kind of some arbitrary rules of thumb that Wall Street uses or that financial advisors use to calculate an income stream. And those arbitrary numbers are 4 to 5% per year seems to be a sustainable income stream for a balanced portfolio. Let me repeat that. A 4 to 5% per year distribution rate or income stream off your portfolio seems to be a reasonable income stream for a balanced portfolio, meaning not all stocks, not all bonds. But I say seems because if you take, you know, $100,000 at 4%, that's $4,000 a year, and the notion would be hopefully that lasts you throughout retirement. But there's all kinds of variables that play into that. Well, when are you retiring, right? If you retire at 30 years old and expect to draw 4%, for the next 50 to 60 years, good luck. I don't know that'll work. So when you retire matters. Then the next question is, are you really only going to draw 4 or are you going to take extra out here and there, right? And then how is your portfolio allocated? And what is what we call the distribution rate of your actual return? So unfortunately, no advisor can say to you, hey, you retired with $1 million, you're going to get $45,000 for the rest of your life guaranteed. They can't do that. The only way they could possibly even try to say that is if they bought you an annuity, which if you know anything about Kloss, due to the fees and restrictions on annuities, we're not huge fans of them, although they can work in certain circumstances. So bottom line is you have to have an advisor that is realistic with you to say, hey, 4% per year seems to be reasonable, but we need to review that going forward. And if we run into really horrendous markets, maybe we would make adjustments to this. So a simple example is we use something called a dynamic income strategy, which means basically that every single year we're evaluating your portfolio, your income stream against any major deviations in your portfolio. So if we have a really good year, it means your income could go up slightly. If there's a really horrible year, your income could go down slightly. These are not major adjustments, but they're ways to make sure you don't run out of money in retirement.
You know, one of the things I found interesting too in kind of going over the notes is there is a difference as far as where you're drawing from, whether it's pre-tax or after-tax accounts. And I want to get into that with you in just a moment. First, though, I want to give up the telephone numbers, as CJ pointed out. It's a great opportunity. If you have any questions, whether it seems very minor or seems quite substantial, if you have a question about your retirement, you are definitely not alone. And CJ is a great guy to ask your questions to. Our numbers, 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Again, that's 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Let's talk a little bit about the difference in the utilization of those pre-tax versus post-tax accounts when you get into retirement.
Yeah, so when we sit down with people initially to put together a very basic analysis, one of the things that we do is look at what we call their investable assets. So liquid assets, things that are not tied up in a rental property or farmland or a home. So things that that can be bought or sold pretty easily. So when we look at that, we break it out between what we call retirement dollars or non-retirement dollars. Commonly in our industry, they call this qualified and non-qualified, which actually is not appropriate terminology, but that's what they call it. So here's the key. You do not want to have, we would suggest, all of your investable assets in your retirement account. And the normal reason why I would say that is because pre-tax retirement money is not really great for what we'll call extra or excessive distributions. Meaning, if you run into an emergency and all of your money is in a pre-tax retirement account, and you need to take out, I don't know, $20,000 to replace a roof, that adds taxable income to your top line of your wages, which can be at a higher tax bracket. So the idea would be to say, hey, certainly you want to put a large portion of whatever you're going to do for retirement into a 401k, IRA, whatever, Roth IRA. But you may want to consider having a bucket of after-tax monies that can be available for those kind of excessive or emergency situations so that you don't have to worry about getting clobbered in taxes in 1 year just because something unexpected happens.
Great information. As always, he is CJ Kloss from Kloss Financial. Don't forget the telephone number at Kloss Financial, 442-5637. The website, klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And our telephone number right here at the station, if you have a question for CJ, 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. And Jim joins us with a question about required minimum distributions. Jim, welcome to the program. You're on with CJ Kloss of Kloss Financial.
Great. Thanks for taking my call. Questions regarding minimum required distributions. I understand the concept. In a couple of years, I'm going to be, you know, 70 and a half, so I'll have to start taking those. How does my Roth IRA and my regular IRA play into that, and what's the strategy to pay the least amount of tax?
Oh, great question, Jim. I love it. So for all the listeners out there, a traditional IRA at the age of 70 and a half does have required minimum distributions, whether you are continuing to work at an employer or not. At age 70 and a half, you have to start making required minimum distributions, and you can no longer contribute to a traditional IRA at the age of 70 and a half either. And it makes sense. The IRS is saying, hey, you haven't paid any tax on this pre-tax traditional IRA, and therefore, by the time you reach 70 and a half, you have to start paying tax on little pieces of that along the way. The Roth IRA is very different. The Roth IRA, there are no required minimum distributions on it at the age of 70 and a half. So you can continue to allow that thing to grow tax-free all the way up until your death, and then hopefully, you know, pass it on to a child or a grandchild. So RMDs only apply to the traditional pre-tax IRA at 70 and a half, not the Roth. Now, to finalize your question, Jim, what's the strategy? If you don't need the required distributions, which generally when people ask that question, Jim, it's because they don't need it. I don't mean to make an assumption for you. I'm just saying that's usually why they ask it. So with the required distribution, if you say, hey, they're going to start forcing me to pull it out of my traditional IRA, but I don't need that income to live off of, then generally looking at what are called Roth conversions could be a good strategy to bring down the future RMD payment you might have. But that's a whole separate topic that I could talk offline with you about.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's my exact situation. I really wouldn't need it. So thank you very much.
Thanks, great Jim. Question, Jim. And don't forget, you can call the Kloss Financial office. You want to talk with CJ and learn a little bit more about Kloss Financial and get a little more into your personal situation. They'd love to talk with you at Kloss Financial. Telephone number 442-5637. That's 442-5637. One of the nice things, too, is when you work with Kloss Financial, that first appointment, get to know each other, talk a little bit about some expectations. It doesn't cost you anything. CJ, I know you like to describe it as a kick of the tires.
That's right.
It's a great way to describe it. If you have a question for CJ from Kloss Financial, give us a call right now, 321-1310. Toll free, 877-235-1310. We'll continue our conversation with CJ Kloss of Kloss Financial and take more of your calls next as Money in Motion continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our number is 321-1310, toll free, 877-235-1310. The telephone number for Kloss Financial's office, 442-5637. It's 442-5637. And online at KlossFinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Going right to the phones. And Ben, welcome to the program. You have a question about that drawdown and the percentage you should be taking out. You're on the air with CJ Kloss of Kloss Financial.
Yes. Some time ago, you mentioned among your retirement money, the rule of thumb is take to 4 to 5% a year.
Yep.
And I have been kind of told in general, if you properly invest in the market with proper asset allocation,
yep,
and that it makes anywhere between 4-5, even up to 6-8%. And therefore, it should be almost permanently in your favor if you don't take more than 4 or 5% a year, right?
You got it. Exactly right, Ben. It depends on age. Again, if somebody were to retire at 75 years old and they said, how much can I pull? I would probably, as an advisor, feel more comfortable 5, even a little over 5, because, again, of proximity to death, unfortunately, right? If you retired at 50, it's a little bit different situation. So it depends on a number of different factors, but your general conclusion and comment there is right on the money.
Ben, thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. Great question. Let's go now to Steve. Steve, welcome to the show. You're on with CJ Kloss of Kloss Financial for Money in Motion on 1310 WIBA.
Good morning. The question I have is, if you have a financial advisor or if you're looking for one, mm-hmm, and you're getting closer to retirement, so you're more concerned about conserving your assets than you are maybe gaining the assets, yeah, and we all know everything happens different in the world, the financial goes up and down and up and down. If there was a major problem, you know, we've seen a couple of those in the last 20 years where people lost, yep, the major money. Yep. Is it my responsibility as a person who has the account to figure out if I should move it, or should I expect my financial advisors to contact me and say, you know, Steve, there's a major thing going on now, maybe it's a good time we switch you around? Is it my responsibility, or is it my financial's responsibility to help me there?
Great question, Steve. I love it. I hope there's a lot of people listening to this one, because it's really spot on. So, Steve, what I'll say to you is, in the industry as a whole, that would depend on who you're working with, because a commission-based advisor may not be proactively monitoring your account. I will say, with a fee-based asset management, discretionary asset management advisor like we are, we actually have certain amounts of discretion over our clients' portfolios to try to protect them. And the reason our clients give us that discretion is because we don't make any money for placing trades for them. So when we place a trade for you, it doesn't help us or hurt you in any way. There's no cost associated with it. And so therefore, clients like that notion, because we can trade on their behalf and then explain to them why we did. So my comment to you, Steve, would be, I think your advisor should be the one doing that. I think you should find an advisor who you trust and work with them on a fee basis, on a discretionary fee basis, so that they can monitor your accounts on an ongoing, on a forward-looking basis. But again, unfortunately, there's a lot of different types of advisors in the industry, and not all of them work that way.
When you find an advisor and you settle on one, how often, when you're approaching of retirement, how often should you meet with the advisor to make sure you're on the same page?
gosh, I wish like I had paid you to come on and ask these questions. So good. Another good one. I would say a minimum of once a year, but really we like to see two, even three times per year reviewing that. Because I don't know about you, Steve, but my life changes quite often, whether it be just cash flow or kids or homes or vehicles, whatever it might be. And I just need to be sitting down and reviewing that at least once a year. As I say, two to three times a year would be ideal.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Steve, great question. You have time for one more call. If you have a question, give us a call, 321-1310, toll-free, 877-235-1310. And just something popped through my head with Steve. Do you see people coming in more often as they near retirement saying, you know what, maybe through my 30s and 40s, once, twice a year, and then you start getting into the 50s, start to our 60s, you start seeing people more often saying...
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely no doubt. As a matter of fact, the reason I said at least once a year is I could argue that for young people who are just like, you know, grinding with a mortgage, trying to take care of their kids, you know, trying to meet two times a year is like doing brain surgery, right? They can hardly get there once a year. And I think that's fine, right? It's okay. You just need to make sure that you don't go 3-4 years without hearing from your advisor. My comment is always, if you haven't heard from your advisor in 2 or 3 years, I can almost promise you, almost is the key word, almost promise you they're a commission-based advisor who does not make any money off of you on an ongoing basis. So they're not connected to your success or failure. My thought would be you want a proactive advisor who's reaching out to you to schedule those reviews and who's actually interested and invested in your success or failure.
You want to talk with CJ or the whole gang at Kloss Financial? They would love to talk with you. Don't forget, it doesn't cost anything for that initial appointment. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You're going to want to hold on to that telephone number because in just a moment we will do our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Another thing, of course, is the website, klaasfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Don't forget, when you get to the website, you can scroll down to the bottom. You can sign up for their weekly Pulse newsletter. Just go under where it says Stay Current. Put in your email address. Once a week, you get an update on what's going on in the markets. It is a very, very helpful resource. Just get to klaasfinancial.com. This week's Kloss Financial Quiz Question of the Week. We're playing for a $25 gift card for Kohl's. It works like this. I will ask you the quiz question of the week in just a moment. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call Kloss Financial's office at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you will win that $25 gift card to Kohl's. This week's Kloss Quiz question of the week is this. Are monthly Social Security benefits guaranteed to increase annually? It's a yes or no answer. Telephone number 442-5637. First caller with the correct answer to 442-5637 will win that $25 gift card to Kohl's. CJ, it's fun as always. You have a great week.
You too.
This is Money in Motion, brought to you by Kloss Financial on 1310 WIVA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.